only interviews Batman. Hi, this is Burt Ward, Robin from the TV series Batman. You're listening to TV Confidential. Wowie zowie, it's fantastic.
Your Excellency.
I am ready.
Ready for what?
To be executed.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Well, then you're going to exile me, of course.
Well, I've never heard such nonsense.
Then what will become of me?
You will become a member of our little community.
You mean become one of the masses?
We don't like to think of ourselves that way. We're a free society, and you will be free to do or become whatever you want.
Anything?
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
Ed Robertson, welcome you to this week's edition of TV Confidential, radio talk show about television that will welcome back Louise Sorrell. In our second hour, Louise Sorrell, the actress known around the world as Vivian Alamein, on Days of Our Lives. You'll recall that when Louise visited our program earlier this year, she mentioned that she had several writing projects in the works, including a series of essays. After that program aired, Louise and I had a conversation, and she mentioned that she'd like to share a few of those essays with you. She will do that when she joins us in our second hour. Plus, she will pay tribute to two of her castmates on Days of Our Lives, Peggy McKay and Joseph Mascolo. Louise Sorrell will join us in our second hour. We hope you stay tuned for that. Coming up later on this hour, we will play part two of a conversation that began last week with Phil Rosenzweig. Phil Rosenzweig, author of an excellent biography on television writer Reginald Rose that also tells the backstory of his signature work, 12 Angry Men. Among other things, we will compare and contrast the 1957 motion picture version, 12 Angry Men, starring Henry Fonda, with the original television production starring Robert Cummings that originally aired as a segment of Westinghouse Studio One. We'll play part two of our conversation with Phil Rosenzweig later on in this hour. We hope you stay tuned for that as well. In the meantime, we'll open up program by welcoming back our friend James Rosen. Jim Rosen, actor, author, publisher. Jim has written and published many, many books on American pop culture, including books on rock and roll music, the history of the Philadelphia A's. He did a documentary on the Philadelphia A's. Plus, Jim has written and published several oral histories of some of the great TV dramas of the 60s and 70s. Jim has two new books out, both of which are novellas. We'll tell you about those in just a second. He has also just published the memoirs of one of my favorite actors and an actor who I know all of you listening know from his many, many appearances in movies and on television, Nehemiah Persoff. Nehemiah Persoff recently celebrated his 102nd birthday this summer. He turned 102 the first week of August. That probably makes Nehemiah Persoff the oldest living Hollywood character actor today. While he retired from acting 30 years ago, that did not stop him from being a creative person. Nehemiah Persoff spent the next 25 years of his life painting and sketching. Well, the last 2 years have seen Nehemiah turn more to writing, including a new play and his memoirs, The Many Faces of Nehemiah, which Jim Rosen recently published. We'll tell you more about the book in just a second. Jim Rosen, welcome back to our program.
Well, I'm great to be back with you, Ed.
Now, you've mentioned this to me off the air. I'm going to mention this on the air for the benefit of our listening audiences. You have a personal connection to Nehemiah Persoff.
I guess you could say we're distantly related. Actually, I think it was my step-grandmother was his cousin. So when I went to California, the Persoff family welcomed me with open arms, and we became very, very close, and they became like my family during the 11 years I lived in L.A., and he would introduce me to people at times. This is my cousin Jimmy Rosen, you know. So they were grand, and we've remained in touch and close contact for the last 50 some years.
And many of the stories that Nehemiah, or Nicky, as Jim calls him, shares in The Many Faces of Nehemiah are stories you heard firsthand during your 11 years when you were an actor here in L.A., and I'm sure you've heard many, many other stories in the subsequent two decades since.
Oh, yeah. There were many times when I sat at the family kitchen table out in the San Fernando Valley and listened to a plethora of stories and anecdotes about his life in New York and later Hollywood, and not only from him, but from actors that came to visit. And there was a lot to tell, you know.
Well, he's had a very, very rich life. Look, anybody who comes to this country from another country, that's a perspective that not everybody has and not everybody can understand. And Nick is a great, great storyteller, very, 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 very vivid, gives you a lot of insight into what it means to be a stranger in a strange land, coming to the U.S. in the Depression. But he was born in Israel. He spent his first 10 years there before he came to the U.S., and he never lost sight of his roots. So that it was very important that who he is as a Jewish person, as opposed to a Jewish American, that was always a very important part of his fabric.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, aside from Broadway and Hollywood and movies and TV and working in various parts of the world and interacting with all kinds of people, what makes the book different from other Hollywood stories is it presents a different kind of narrative. You know, and coming from Jerusalem, a story about his cultural and ethical clash in life and with the entertainment industry. I can expound a little bit on that if you like.
This is the Jim Rosen show. You can expound on whatever you want.
Bless your heart. Thank you. He grew up amidst a very special culture, as you mentioned, in Jerusalem. The atmosphere was kind of biblical and idealistic. And there were a lot of people that were coming to what then was known as the British Mandate of Palestine. Subsequently, years later, it became the State of Israel after the War of Independence. And in Palestine, you had a huge number of Jewish people that were coming from places like Poland and Russia, where Jewish folks were severely oppressed and anti-Semitism flourished. So these people that came to Palestine were very idealistic and hungry to build, to prosper, and the idea of Zionism was very prevalent because that was a movement where the Jewish folks felt that they should have a state of their own and be able to live in peace and harmony and live with dignity and security. And the reason why they picked Palestine was because that, you know, thousands of years before, that's where the Israelites were. So it just felt like home to them. There was also a huge Arabic population there. But they seemed to get along fairly well. In any event, growing up in an atmosphere like that had a very profound effect on Nick, I think. And he found himself in a kind of a whirlwind of ideas. And as I said, the mindset was somewhat biblical and idealistic. And there was a fraternity between all these Jewish people. Which brought a curiosity about life to him and a concern for other people in a way that I think many people of his age in other countries didn't possess. And so you can imagine a boy of, 7, 8, 9 years old struggling with all these ideas, and then all of a sudden he finds himself on a ship headed for New York with his two older sisters, and he meets all these people from all over the world, you know, the French, the German, the Greek, the British. And these people knew nothing about what was happening in Jerusalem, and they really didn't care. And then he finds himself living in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn, and most of the boys that he encountered, Jewish and Gentile, who were his age, were far different from the people in Jerusalem. And I think he felt they were more interested in advancing their own fortune than they were in having a pride in being Jewish or a concern for others, a curiosity about life. So there he was, the only one in the neighborhood from Jerusalem with the name of Nehemiah.
The Many Faces of Nehemiah, the memoirs of Nehemiah Persoff, the great character actor Nehemiah Persoff, the many faces of Nehemiah available through ClassicTVSeriesBooks.com, ClassicTVSeriesBooks.com, as well as Amazon.com, wherever books are sold online.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Jim Rosen is the publisher of The Many Faces of Nehemiah. He is also a blood relative in that they are distant cousins. And so there's a personal aspect to this and that you've heard these stories many, many times before. And I'm sure it's just great pride, point of pride. And I would imagine it's very good to play a direct role in helping Nick share these stories to the public.
Oh, absolutely. I love the man dearly. As I said, he and his late wife were so wonderful to me. I got along very well with the four children who are all grown now. They truly made me part of the family, and I had no family out there. And I would talk to my parents in Philadelphia, you know, periodically, but I really had not much interaction with them during that time. So that was very important for me. You needed that, you know, because Hollywood can be a very lonely place. And unlike where I grew up, you didn't walk the streets that much and you didn't see people. You had to get in the car and drive great distances. So to have an attachment to a family out there and have a home base feeling was very important. I would say that some of the actors that I met in my travels working with and with them and just casually meeting them at some point through other people, I was very elated to hear what they had to say about Nick, particularly if they work with him. I remember one man in particular, Milburn Stone, who was
Doc
Adams.
Terrific man.
I remember once in Beverly Hills meeting him, and I told him that my association with Nick, and for one moment he was just like Doc Adams on those 20 years of that series. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, let me tell you something." He said, "You ever want to get an acting lesson, you do a scene with Nicky Persoff." And it was a very nice moment because I could see the affection that he had for him. I remember also when I did the Wagon Train book and talked to Ernest Borgnine, who was a wonderful man, really was. He said to me, he did work with Nicky in a movie, he and Alan Ladd, called The Badlanders. There's a picture of it in the book. And when he found out of my association with him, he said, "Oh, Nicky, where is he?" I said, "Well, he's in Northern California." He said, I want to contact him." So I think a couple of days later, I happened to talk to Nick. I said, I spoke to Ernest Borgnine. He said he wanted to contact you. He said, "Yeah, I got a letter from him in the mail today." Ernest Borgnine was like Humphrey Bogart used to say. You know, he was not privy to the lost. What was the expression he used? He said letter writing was a lost art.
Yes.
So he used to write letters to people.
Yeah.
Like Bogart did, you know, and I just thought that was interesting. There were others, many others. I know when I did Adam 12 and I said to Marty Milner when we were driving in the car to about to shoot a scene, I said, "My cousin Nicky did Route 66. He says, who was that? I said, Nehemiah Persav. And he looked, turned around, looked at me. He did too. He, what, 12, 14 years later, he remembered that Nick had done two episodes. They happened to be two very memorable shows. But I just thought, and I felt that he had that kind of an impression on people, I think particularly because of his artistic integrity and because he, you know, he really came from a different kind of culture.
Jim Rosen is on the line with us. Jim is the publisher of The Many Faces of Nehemiah, the memoirs of his cousin, Nehemiah Persav, one of the great character actors from film, stage, and television of the 20th century. In The Many Faces of Nehemiah, Nehemiah Persav looks back at his early childhood in Jerusalem, his arrival in America during the Great Depression, his early career as a technician in the New York subway system, and how his desire to act early as a young man often came into conflict with the practical reality of earning a living, and Nick's remarkable transition to Broadway, movies, and television. Nehemiah Persav, you know this, Jim, Nehemiah Persav is a great storyteller. He creates vivid pictures of the many characters that he grew up with when he was a kid in Brooklyn, New York, and how he often drew upon those real-life characters whenever he played gangsters in movies and on television. There are a lot of great memories of Nehemiah Persav working with James Cagney, Humphrey Bogart, Shelley Winters, Boris Karloff, Elia Kazan, Lee Strasberg, John Wayne, Rod Steiger, Marlon Brando, many, many others. The Many Faces of Nehemiah Persav, available through ClassicTVSeriesBooks.com, ClassicTVSeriesBooks.com, as well as Amazon.com. I don't remember whether it was Tony Curtis who said this or one of the many directors that Nick worked with throughout his career, but Nehemiah Persav could do anything, comedy, drama, character, leading man. What you asked him to do, he could do it, and then some.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, he would go from a very dramatic role on Route 66 or Naked City to playing an exiled dictator in Gilligan's Island.
That's right. You know?
Yeah, that was a classic, that episode where he played that character. I think I'd like to mention how he really got into this. Growing up in Williamsburg in Brooklyn also was a time of a terrible depression. Mm-hmm. And those hardships added to the conflict that he faced, you know. And so that, in addition to being confronted with the burdens and problems of someone in his early teens should not have to face, I think that's why he took refuge in the movie theater. And he would go and spend the whole Saturday watching the cartoons and the film shorts and the movies and the live shows. And then, as you were making reference to before, he would come back home, and his parents and his brothers and sisters wanted to know all about the movies that he saw. And he would enact the characters and telling the stories. And he found he had a talent for it. And it was very evident, because then he would take the stories the following day and embellish and dramatize them more and perform them for all the other kids in the neighborhood, Jewish, Italian, Irish, and he garnered quite an audience. So in essence, he went from becoming an unwelcome foreigner to someone who was accepted and had something to offer. And then I would touch on something you brought up in a conversation we had about a responsibility as an actor.
Before we started recording, Jim and I were getting caught up because we haven't talked to each other in a while. And Jim recently appeared at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention in Maryland. And one of the people that appeared that weekend was another old friend, Louis Gossett Jr. And Lou has been on our program a few months ago. And like Nehemiah Persav, Louis Gossett Jr., throughout his career, he felt a responsibility to approach his craft, and when selecting roles that were true to who he was and who he felt comfortable with as a person, but also he felt a responsibility to his people. In Lou's case, the African-American people. In Nick's case, the Jewish people.
Yeah, particularly in the 1930s when he was growing up, you had the advent of the Nazis in Germany, and they vowed to make the world a better place to live in by eliminating the Jewish people. So as a teenager, I think he wondered what he could do to earn a life that Hitler deemed him unworthy of. And he began to believe that if his talent for making people laugh and cry and telling these stories, if nurtured, could qualify him for the gift of life. So I think by the time he was about 18, he realized that acting was what he wanted to do. And in the acting profession, actors were in a favored position. He felt they could present ideas to an audience that could change how they felt, change life. And as an actor, he would have that responsibility to convey those ideas to the audience, which was a very important tool to make life better for everyone, and the responsibility that you talked about with me.
Jim Rosen is the publisher of The Many Faces of Nehemiah, the memoirs of his cousin, Nehemiah Persoff, one of the greatest character actors in the history of film and television. We'll talk some more, Jim Rosen, after this quick timeout here on TV Confidential.
Now, fellow delegates, there comes a time in the life of every business executive when he starts thinking about retirement. Yes. I'm looking around for somebody to fill my shoes. I've been considering several candidates. For instance, there's a certain party from Chicago, Southside Chapter. Now, some people say he's gotten a little too big for his spats. But I say he's a man who'll go far. Some people say he's gone too far. But I say, you can't keep a good man down. Of course, he's still got a lot to learn. That big noise he made on St. Valentine's Day, that wasn't very good for public relations. And letting them two witnesses get away, that sure was careless.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.